Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. Here with me, as always, it's David Ramil. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. You know, driving down to the old homestead for Thanksgiving. It's a special holiday, and I really do enjoy it. You know, Thanksgiving wasn't always my favorite holiday, but now it's come around, and it's just an added time to gather together with family and talk about all the good things to look forward to and all the things that I'm thankful for.
What's changed? Why hasn't between when you didn't like Thanksgiving and now?
I didn't have anything to give thanks for, I guess. I don't know. It was kind of miserable and misanthropic. Now, all of a sudden, I'm filled with joy. The joy of the season.
You're filled with the joy and being thankful for the Miami Heat.
Absolutely.
Well, that's exactly what we're going to talk about this whole podcast is what we're thankful for this whole season so far. We're just a little bit of a programming note right off the top here. This is going to be our last podcast for the week. So enjoy this, and we'll be back Monday morning with a mailbag. So that's what we'll be doing. But this will be the last podcast of the week. That means that no recaps for these couple of games that are coming up. So because we're going to take time to spend quality time with our families, right? Or whatever.
Absolutely.
Or hide from them. Whatever works. all right. Well, let's just get right into it. I think let's start with yours, because I really like yours, what you're thankful for. We're going to go back and forth. We're each going to do a couple, so we're just going to kind of go back and forth a little bit.
Sure.
Let's start with you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now that the season has started, it gives you a really good opportunity to watch the team actually in action. But, you know, one of the things that I'm really thankful for is the end of the off-season drama, because to me, so much of what defined the Heat during the off-season was the interaction between the front office, you know, and of course its figurehead Pat Riley and Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and the departure of two of the greatest players in franchise history. You know, obviously that was a much criticized process there. Everything worked out very badly. And, you know, many people feel that Riley pushed out or didn't do what he had to do in order to re-sign Dwayne Wade. You know, Wade's obviously in Chicago now. We've talked about it on a number of occasions. But to me, I'm just so glad with that offseason drama finally coming to an end, because it was an ugly side of the sport that you and I and so many others love so much. You know, we try to ignore the business aspect of it as much as possible, but sometimes it creeps in there, and it does really obviously and negatively, as it did over the summer. Glad that that particular aspect is over.
Yeah, I mean, we got Dwayne Wade's first game over with. That was as pleasant of an experience that was to see him back and watch him and honor him in a way with, like, the video and the fans cheered him on. As fun as that was, it's done. You know, the Chris Bosh thing for now is over with. He's overseas vacationing right now in, like, Southeast Asia or something like that. You know, the Bosh thing will come back in February when the team tries to clear his cap, clear his salary from the cap with the medical exception and everything like that. And so that will probably get a little bit more dramatic in February. But for now, at least, you know, we can enjoy the holiday season. We can enjoy the first half of the season, really, without the drama, looking at what's going on with the team. And for me and you, I know that you and I, we've got really sick of just talking about Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade the entire offseason. So for 13 or so games into the year, it's really nice just to be able to talk about the games that are happening on the court, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you never want to see the end of an era, especially one come to, you know, as bitter an end as it did. But the reality is that, you know, now you're able to move on. You know, and there's been a lot of discussion about whether or not you should look forward to watching this team. You know, I see, as you do as well, as Heat team on Twitter, you know, what the expectations are, trying to manage those. And especially in context of how this team has always contended for a title or been a playoff team for, you know, 17 out of the past 21 seasons and everything else. And obviously this team's going to be much more – it's going to be much more difficult for this team to make the playoffs. It's, there's still an opportunity there, but maybe that's not necessarily the focus of the season. It's about getting, you know, these players developed, watching them grow, something to look forward to.
Absolutely. All right, well – with all that said, we can keep moving on. I know that you're in the middle of your commute to Miami, and my commute on a daily basis is pretty long as well. I drive about 2.5 hours a day and to and from work, and I decided that instead of just wasting that time listening to the same top 40 hits over and over again, I'd use that time to learn something. So I've made my favorite podcast a part of my morning commute, learning from experts on various subjects, so that I become an expert two on a lot of things, so I can basically just learn something. So here's my advice to our listeners. With a podcast for every NBA and NFL team, hosted by experts like David and I, make the Locked On Podcast Network part of your day. Subscribe to get these daily shows every day and make it a part of your morning routine, your daily routine. There's a Locked On NBA and NFL, plus daily shows about fantasy sports. We know all you need plenty of advice for fantasy sports. There's Locked On Dolphins, who are doing really well, and of course, Locked On Heat right here. So go to iTunes or whatever you use to listen to podcasts and subscribe to Locked On Heat and browse and look for other Locked On podcasts. Stop listening to Drake's One Dance over and over again and just hang out with us is pretty much what we're trying to say here. And by the way, if your company is looking for a male audience between the ages of 18 and 44, your company should be sponsoring this podcast right here in this spot. Locked On Heat is listened to by 95% men, 74% of which are between the ages of 18 and 44. And according to a recent study, podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with a sponsor than any other media outlet. Plus, our rates are reasonable, or you can decide that for yourself. Email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com to find out more about sponsoring Locked On Heat and engaging the audience you want to reach. All right. I'm thankful for Justice Winslow getting an opportunity. I've really enjoyed it. Has he been efficient? Not in the slightest. Has he been good? Not really. Even though that could be up for debate. But I've been impressed with how much of a rope he's getting. His usage rate has almost doubled since last year. He's turning over the ball less than last year in the amount of time he has the ball. His turnover percentage is dramatically less. So I think he's really come along as a ball handler between last season and this season. And it's funny because you and I talked with Justice Winslow and some of his coaches during Summer League, and one of the things that kept popping up was his playmaking and his ball handling was a thing that was focused on, where on the outside, the entire, like 100% of the focus was on his three-point shot, which is such a small part of the game, an important part of the game, especially in today's NBA, but a very small part of the overall game. And when we talked with Winslow, when we talked with the guys, it seemed like ball handling was almost more of a focus, and I don't know if that was to temper expectations about a three-point shot, but there's definitely and clearly been work put in on that side, in that aspect of Winslow's game. And I think that's showing. He's bringing the ball up when Goran Dragic is off the floor. He's pretty much the nominal, well, he's like the point forward in these cases when he's on the floor and Dragic isn't. He's facilitating the ball. He's getting guys involved. There's a lot of room for him to grow in that area, I think, especially in drive and kick situations where he can really create for others, as opposed to just kind of bringing the ball up. But that will come with time. And just him giving that, him having that rope and having the freedom to shoot whenever he wants to shoot, having the freedom to get as aggressive as he wants to, I've really, really enjoyed that. And I think that's going to be especially important in his development. And Pat Riley even said that. Let him fail. This team is going to have to fail to grow and to learn, and they're giving him that opportunity. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm taking it one step further in that every time he even does make a shot, it's such a cause for excitement. I don't know if you feel the same way or sure. Some of our listeners do, but it's almost like, you know, you expect him to hit these shots so that when he does, it's like there are extra joyous occasions there, and I really appreciate that. But I really do like, you know, the kind of role that he's grown into and watching that continue to expand, not just this season, but beyond, you know. Obviously, I had been critical of Winslow when he first joined the team there. I wasn't sure exactly how he'd fit in. I think, you know, defensively, the presence and intensity that we saw throughout the course of his rookie year eventually grew on me. But seeing him now continue to develop that offensive playmaker aspect of his game has been a real joy to watch, and I'm looking forward to seeing it continue, because there are, you know, you can appreciate other things, you know, and especially in the wake of, you know, Dwayne Wade's departure. We always counted on Wade scoring, especially in clutch situations, and I think that's how he's remembered most fondly. But you can never deny what a playmaker he was, and that's something that was, I think, not necessarily discussed as much. You know, we always consider it, we always think about it, but it's never exactly the highlight. We always think about the big shots and clutch situations and things of that sort when we think about Dwayne Wade. But the playmaking aspect was an important one of who he was and why he was such a special player. And so to see Winslow continue to develop, not to say that he's going to develop into the same kind of playmaker as Wade was, but, you know, for him to continue to develop that, I think it's something that a lot of fans should continue to appreciate and look forward to seeing as it continues to grow.
And I know we like to make comparisons with Justice Winslow with Kawhi Leonard and Draymond Green and a lot of these guys, but I had a chance to watch DeMar DeRozan in person the other night on Sunday night, and how he's basically rejected the three-point line. And then you look at somebody like Jimmy Butler, who has Chicago playing better than I think a lot of people expected, and has played like one of the top three players in the Eastern Conference this season, who's also very similar. He's not so much rejecting the three-point line to the extent that DeMar DeRozan is, but really surviving in that mid-range where guys like Dwayne Wade survived and made a living. And you have guys like DeRozan and Butler doing these things in an NBA, which basically everybody's saying you need to hit three-pointers, and both of those guys are a pair of the top offensive players in the game today, not doing it with the three-point line. So I think there's hope for Justice Winslow there. If he looks at guys like that, I really don't want us to say he's got to hit three-point shots in order to be successful. I think that's dangerous. The team has mentioned that that is not really their focus either, that they want him to do a lot more than just hit three-point shots. And if Winslow can start to develop in that way as a playmaker and then just really getting aggressive, getting to the rim, getting to the free throw line, these things that we saw him do at Duke, these things that we saw him do a little bit already this season, that game, that first game against the Spurs comes to mind, the second half specifically. That to me would be the next step in his development, but he's going to have that opportunity, and that's what I'm thankful for. What are you thankful for? What's another thing you're thankful for?
Well, you know, keeping it a step further, you know, this team is obviously going through some personnel changes. You know, the young players like Winslow and Josh Richardson and Tyler Johnson, and even to some extent Hassan Whiteside, I think you tend to appreciate those players as they continue to develop and things of that sort. But, you know, the rest of the roster is made up of guys that may not be here long term. They're on short 1 year deals in many cases. You got a guy like Derek Williams or Deion Waiters. But one player in particular has really stood out as far as one of these guys on a short-term deal. And for me, that's James Johnson. Not only is he the several-week holder of the power forward belt, but what I really like is just the level of energy that he brings to the team. I didn't really see that, you know, that side of him in Toronto. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't necessarily watch him much. You know, he didn't get a lot of playing time there. I knew he was supposed to be an energy guy, a guy who could space the floor a little bit and might be able to finish at the rim. But I didn't see him as the playmaker that he's been. When he comes off the bench now in Miami, you know, he handles the ball so smoothly for a guy his size. He pushes the pace. He brings it up floor. He's looking to distribute it to some of his teammates there, and he gets a lot of guys good open looks. And you and I talked about this in the podcast earlier this week. You know, his role as a leader on the floor has been something that's really been underappreciated and not necessarily talked about as much, because I think he does provide some really solid veteran presence there, some knowledge on how to play the game, and he's encouraging these younger players. You know, there was that one play in particular that we talked about where he shoveled a pass to Tyler Johnson to say, hey, you're open, you've got to take this shot. And it was the one field goal that Tyler Johnson connected on all game long. In a game in which he struggled, the one shot he hit was because of James Johnson kind of forcing his hand and saying, this is your shot, you need to take it. And that's something that's really grown on me. But just every time he comes in, you expect positive things from him. And we've seen that. We've seen Miami lose big leads or get into a deficit early on in the first quarter. And then all of a sudden, when Johnson and some other role players come on board onto the floor, then all of a sudden that's when Miami starts to turn it around. Their energy level is noticeably higher. They're hustling for rebounds. You saw even in that last game, you know, when a guy like Johnson, Tyler Johnson in particular, wasn't, you know, hitting shots, he was still active on chasing rebounds. And I think that's just part of the overall enthusiasm and intensity that James Johnson brings to the floor when he comes on.
I've really started to enjoy his passing. I think he's I mean, I'm with you, man. I mean, I watched the Raptors as much as I could, I guess. When they were on national TV, they had that series against us in the playoffs, you know. I watched him every so often, never really thinking about James Johnson. You know, you watch the Raptors, you're looking at Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Jonas Valanciunas even. James Johnson was just an afterthought. He's just another role player on that team. And I've always kind of liked his game. That's been about it, my extent of my analysis on James Johnson. But what I had no idea he was such a fluid passer. He's such a willing distributor of the ball and has a real knack for knowing when to pass it, when to kind of take his own shot and create for himself, because he's not afraid to create for himself. And I use this expression. He's the adult on the floor on a very young team. With a lot of reserves that are younger that he comes in with, he's the veteran on the floor, and he acts it like it. So there's real value for him there. He's really in a lot of ways what Josh McRoberts was supposed to be for the Heat. You know, he plays a lot of the four, can play a little bit of the five. He's distributing the ball a lot. He scores when he has to, and kind of lets the game come to him, and plays his role really well. But, you know, he is a lot of what Josh McRoberts was supposed to be. It's not surprising that they're both paired off on that reserve unit together so often.
That's a really good point. I hadn't considered that, but I think that's a good observation in that, you know, part of the disappointment with McRoberts was that so much was expected of him when he first signed with Miami. You know, he was supposed to be that guy who facilitated an offense. He was going to be a glue guy. You know, somebody who could do so much offensively and contribute defensively as well. And, of course, that just hasn't been the case. But James Johnson fills that role now, and it's been a real pleasure to see.
Okay. The last thing that I'm thankful for. You know what? You did mention Deion Waiters there for a second. I do want to talk about Deion Waiters. That's not my last thing I'm thankful for, because I think a lot of listeners are going to start turning the show off because they know that that's my corner that I'm defending to, like, the day I die, is the Deion Waiters on the Heat was a positive thing. Well, let's just talk about him a little bit. He's at least fun to watch, right? I mean, imagine if Deion Waiters wasn't on this team. I mean, it would be a lot of just everybody kind of passing the ball along the perimeter when Goran Dragic wasn't on the floor. Deion Waiters is fun. I mean, at least this is fun. Like, if you take away the parts where you really want to win and you think Deion Waiters is a negative impact, even though he's been one of the top two leading scorers pretty much every game this season.
Yeah.
You take all that aside, he's entertaining, right?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, to take what I said about Winslow earlier, when he does hit these big shots for Deion, I mean, it's so exciting to see him, you know, be able to connect on those long range shots. And when he hits that 3-pointer, I find myself doing an extra fist pump, you know, and a celebration of it. And I think it's great. And, you know, he brings value in his aggressiveness. You know, he's going to keep going to the hoop. We'd like him to earn an extra free throw here and there. We'd like to see those layups finish at a higher rate. But again, there is a value to him being aggressive and continuing to create shots. And hopefully, even if he's not hitting those shots, again, it puts his teammates in position to grab those rebounds. I don't think Hassan Whiteside's production would be nearly as high if not for Deion's aggression in creating shot opportunities that Whiteside can clean up, not just from a rebounding perspective, but also at a putback, you know, for a score. You know, he's getting these easy looks because a guy like Waiters is able to drive to the hoop and create those opportunities. And that's something to be said about what Deion brings to the table.
That's a really good point. And look, I know that he could be frustrating. The and ones are a lot. It can be grating to a lot of people, the constant and one screaming. But look, Thanksgiving is a time to sit down and think about what you're thankful for and kind of really take inventory of what you got and what you could appreciate. And Deion Waiters is what we got right now. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh is not what we have right now. Deion Waiters is what you got. So just appreciate what you can appreciate about him. Maybe you're not going to love him as much as David and I, but just try to appreciate him. And that's, you know, that's my message of thanks that I want to spread. Now, the final thing that I did really want to talk about that I'm thankful for is the ESPN trade machine. I mean, with all of this tanking and trade talk and everything, look, it just listen to our Monday mailbag from this week, and it's still what's on a lot of people's minds. Win or lose, this team thinks that there is a trade to be made, that there are moves to be made, and to itch that curiosity, that's what the ESPN trade machine is here for. So I think that the trade machine is going to get a huge bump from users in the Miami, South Florida area this year. It probably already has. And from me especially, I can use that trade machine all day and just figure out different deals of what... Not that I want to trade anybody, not that there's something a deal that is out there right now. I still have yet to find the deal that makes too much sense not to do yet. But with all of this rumors and talk and things that are going on, I think that I'm just super grateful that the ESPN trade machine is around for at least just to let me kind of explore that curiosity for a few minutes or an hour and just kind of get it out of my system. You know what I mean?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I think, you know, obviously with this season and somewhat lowered expectations, part of what, you know, every fan base can look forward to is finding a way to improve this team, to get that superstar or that complimentary role player that might put Miami back in towards title contention. And that's always a fun aspect of it. I think, you know, one of the best podcasts I remember recording with you was earlier this year, I think during the offseason when we played GM and we looked at, you know, what changes we'd make to the franchise, not just from a personnel perspective, but also like little things, you know, from front office or coaching standpoints. And I mean, it's always great to play the general manager role every once in a while and to be able to say, you know, you can package these players together and acquire a big name or a superstar or, like I said, a role player. It's always a lot of fun doing that. And I think that's it's something to look forward to, you know, being the opportunity to maybe make a move here and there that could continue to build this team, you know, either get that draft pick that you're looking at or maybe get a player there that you think might fit best with this team and you know, somebody who could be, you know, we've talked about everybody from Rudy Gay to DeMarcus Cousins to, I mean, obviously a lot of players that we're comparing to in Sacramento, I think. But, you know, that's because they're not necessarily successful. And so they may be looking to clean house. And that's part of the fun also is looking at teams that necessarily aren't, you know, reaching their peak this season. They're not playing to the level that they expected. And they may not be willing to trade a player there. That's where a guy like Pat Riley in particular has always been able to find value and being able to convince another team to unload one of their players for, you know, for the benefit of Miami.
Yeah, I mean, John Wall. I brought up Emmanuel Mudiay. I mean, there's so many players out there and so many directions that he can go that it's hard not to just get on that trade machine and just start playing around. And I could be on that trade machine for like 2 hours and not even notice it. It's in December when all the contracts are able to be traded, the players that signed this season, it's gonna be even more fun to be able to move those deals as well. But I agree with you. I thought that podcast that we did where we played GM and took control of the franchise, that was a lot of fun. And that's kind of what the whole thing with the trade machine allows us to do too, is just kind of go into that fantasy sports mode and just kind of do what we want with the team for a little while. But
now I do have a bone to pick with a trade machine, and maybe you agree with me or not, but I don't understand why you can't package like draft picks or something like that. Why does it include like a future first rounder or something that you might be able to, because those players don't specifically have value, or you don't know what the value of those future draft picks are.
They would have to that would be exactly it. I think it's more of like a contract matcher than anything. So you can't include the first round pick in there. So when you send screenshots and stuff to people, you have to almost just include in the body of the text like, oh, and the Nuggets also send a first round pick or something like that. But it would be cool to have like just some draft picks with like a value in there, and then when you hit submit the trade or whatever, it bounced back with you, because right now it has like that PER or something, like the Hollinger plus minus of the trade, which is like really off of value. It's not like an accurate measure of it. If they could fix that part of it, that would be a really, really good tweak. And then if you throw the first round, if you could start throwing draft picks in there, and it would like grade the trade for both teams. Like if the trade would be like a B for both teams, then it might be worth it. Or if it was like, or if it graded it like on a scale, like if it leaned heavily towards one team than the other, and then you'd have to like throw an extra thing in there to kind of balance it out for the other team to say yes. Because I think a lot of Heat fans, for example, will look at trades and say, who doesn't want Dion Waiters for a first-round pick? Well, like, probably not a lot of people. But to get that other, like, the statistical perspective of it, you know, would be a pretty interesting little tweak for the trade machine to make. All right, well, that's everything that we have. I mean, we could go on, but we wanted to keep it pretty concise for you guys. That's what we're thankful for. The last thing I did want to say that we're thankful for is you, the listener. And it means a lot to us now that we've transitioned from basically a once-a-week podcast to a daily podcast. The reaction and the support has been immense, and we really do appreciate it. The mailbag questions that we get every week is great. The comments and the reviews on iTunes has been fantastic. Just the overwhelming support that we've seen. I know that a daily podcast, while it does, it provides a daily dose of Miami Heat stuff, it's a lot, and we appreciate you to listen. We appreciate everybody that listens to us on a daily basis. We really, really do. It's been a lot of fun for us, even, you know, since we started it, really in the summer, since we came on board. We transitioned from the Heat Check to Locked On Heat and became part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's been a really fun ride. It's only going to get better now that we have real basketball to talk about. And, you know, when the season really gets in full throttle right around Christmas, and it's just going to be really enjoyable. And we both really appreciate the continued support. So we're very thankful for you guys.
Yeah, I have to chime in there and say that I absolutely am. I think, our listener, without our listeners, there'd be no reason for us to continue this, but to get the feedback from them and to hear everything that they appreciate about our conversation. And, you know, it's always been great, but, you know, the season itself has also been a real opportunity to be thankful for, I think, the minutiae of, like, the game itself, you know, the little things that you can't always take that you don't always notice or appreciate, but, you know, that's something to take into consideration when watching these games, is that, you know, maybe we're not fighting for a title. Maybe we're not competing for a playoff spot, but there's beauty in the game itself and watching these players continue to grow. And I mean, even in the chaos that a player like Dion Waiters brings, I mean, we joke about it all the time, but there's a value in there. There's a joy in watching it. And it can get frustrating at times, but that's what sports is all about. And that's why we love the game as much as we do. And that's why our listeners are even, you know, subscribe to listen to us talk about it, is because they love it as much as we do. And so there's always something to appreciate in a beautiful game like basketball.
Excellently put. All right. Well, that's all we have for today. Enjoy your Thanksgiving holiday. We'll be back next week. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, thank you for listening. Get in touch with the show on Twitter at Locked On Heat or by email, where you can send us mailbag questions, comments, or sponsorship opportunities. That's lockedonheat@gmail.com. If you aren't subscribed already, please do so to get the podcast automatically every day. And then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. It helps our position on the iTunes charts, helps other people discover the show. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David. Enjoy your break.
Absolutely, Wes. Likewise.